Damien O'Reilly has just joined us. He is senior lecturer in retail management at the College of Business at DIT. And it is the week where there were closures of kind of household names, so to speak. Karen Millen, we saw Debenhams in trouble.
House of Fraser as well.
Yeah, in serious difficulty. There seems to be such turbulence and uncertainty going on in that world at the moment, obviously also affecting jobs.
Yeah. The companies you mentioned in general have been in the UK, and the UK has seen over the last number of years huge changes. You can see the likes of, you know, as you mentioned there, Debenhams, you've got BHS went out of business, Austin Reed went out of business. So some of the big names and traditional names that have been there a long time have gone out of business. And people will obviously say, you know, it's because of online, and online is affecting everything.
Yeah.
But like, in my opinion, like if we put things into perspective, you know, we had that same people talking about closure of business when Cleary's went out of business.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you look back at Cleary's, you know, it wasn't making money at the time. So it was inevitable that it went out of business. So what's actually happening is, you know, online has kind of precipitated a kind of a revolution within it. And that it's not that retail is dying on the high street. It's actually that bad retail is dying. Mm-hmm. And retailers are not reacting quick enough to change because of the internet. You know, retailers in the UK were looking at saying to have 150 to 200 stores to cover the UK. That's what they needed to get people within
total
a 20
coverage.
Mile radius.
Yeah.
So that everybody had access to a Debenhams or a Marks and Spencers or whatever.
Yeah.
Now they're finding that they only need 50 to 70 stores.
Why?
Well, partially because of the way people are changing their habits, but they overexpanded. Right, you know, they overexpanded in the 1990s, in the 2000s, early 2000s, before the recession, is that they overexpanded, bought too much space, and it was like, if I don't have a space in the new retail park, I'm missing out, and I've got to have a presence in it. Companies nowadays are looking at smaller footprints.
Yeah.
You know, because footfall is down definitely in the UK, and it's down in high streets. But overall, the sales in the high streets, online, has affected this and has changed what's actually happening. The footfall is down, but you know, the retailers are still expanding, and there's more retailers than there were previously. It's just that some of the big high profile ones that have a lot of outlets have actually suffered over the period of time.
Is that because of capital expenditure or borrowing? And
you know, one of it is there's high rents, legacy rents is one issue. Toys R Us, for example, you know, legacy rents, that's one of the issues that they had. It's not that they were beaten by online traders, is that their stores just weren't up to scratch. They were too big. They didn't have the right product lines. You know, and if you take, you might say, why doesn't Smith's then go out of business?
Yes.
Smith's is an incredibly well-run business.
Yeah.
And actually bought over, you know, the German and the Swiss operations of Toys R Us. So, I mean,
so
you know, these things can work.
What's the difference?
The difference? Well, they're running a good business. They don't have the legacy debt.
What is the difference? They don't have the legacy debt.
They don't have the legacy debt. They don't have high rents. They've negotiated rents. You know, these big companies that opened up huge amounts of stores have found that nowadays is that people are changing. What's actually happening, Marion, as well, is that, you know, people are changing the way they shop. Nowadays, we have the mobile phone, and the mobile phone is what's changing everything. And the younger generation, who before they shop for something, if you go to Smith's or if you were to go to Toys R Us, whatever, I bet the first thing you're doing is you're at home looking it up on your computer, or you have it on your phone, and you're doing price checks and price comparisons. So you've got to be doing something different as a retailer, because, you know, the path to purchase, as they call it, so before you actually buy that item, is where are you looking beforehand? So how is that path to purchase? And retailers haven't adapted quick enough. The big retailers, some of them haven't adapted quick enough to these changes.
And how do you adapt? I mean, it's kind of an unknown world, isn't it, in some ways?
Well, let's put this into context. retail sales is broken into mainly grocery at 40%, non-grocery around 60%, right? So that's within 40% of grocery. What percentage of that is online, is delivered? Would you have an estimate, or might ask your audience to have a guess of what percentage is...
I know, because I read the brief.
...is online?
So you guess.
Well, what percentage of our groceries do we order online?
10%?
less than 1%, half of 1%, right? And
shocking.
Online,
well, yeah. I mean, just shocking because you have a different perception.
It's, you know, and it's not media or journalists, but something big hits a headline and it becomes a headline and people think that the retail world is doomed and you have this retail apocalypse. Now, if you scrape out the online flights and hotels and accommodation and so on, if you take those out, you're talking about retail online spend here in Ireland of about 7% outside of grocery. Right. So it's not huge. It's not taking over the world.
Is it?
No, if you look at Retail Ireland and their figures there, you know, the value and the volume of sales are up in the last year. So people are spending more money. Now, what's happening is there's more discounting. The volume has gone up significantly over the last couple of years, but the value, which is the volume multiplied by the price, that hasn't gone up as much. So we're looking at discounts. And part of that is because we can compare things online very easily. And it's the mobile phone and the younger people and the Generation Z, as we're calling them now, they're changing.
Generation who?
Z.
Oh, is that after a snowflake?
Generation X, well, with the baby boomers up to the 60s, and then we had Generation X up to the late 70s, and Generation Y, which is known as the millennials, up to about 1994, 95, and the last 20 years has been Generation Z. So they're now going to be the big spenders.
Will that help somebody in a pub quiz? I have absolutely no doubt.
What will the next generation be called? Run out of letters.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They'll have to go back around in the alphabet. But it just came around because nobody could put a name on it. The baby boomers, naturally, after the war and lots of babies. Yeah. But then after that, nobody had a name for it. So it was just given a name like some people do. It's X, Y, or Z. So it just kind of became Generation X.
So... But I mean, I'm going to come to an article that's in the Business
Post. Can I just make one other point as well?
Yes.
You know, people confuse buying and shopping. Like, I buy something for my lunch, so you go somewhere convenient and you buy a sandwich.
Right.
And that's buying something to fulfill whatever desire that you have or need that you have at lunchtime to eat or to drink or whatever it is. But then shopping is, you know, something that we want to do that's experiential, something that we want to get involved in.
Yeah.
And we don't often want to do that online. We want to do that in a store. But you know what? It doesn't mean that we're not using technology and that companies shouldn't have an online presence. There should be a mixture of online and offline. You know, if I asked the audience here again to name 10 pure play retailers, pure play online retailers, it'd be very difficult to. One of the big ones, by the way, is ASOS, who have had very bad results recently. Mm-hmm. And if you look at ASOS, 35% of what they sell gets sent back.
Yeah. Now, I think that's critical. Sorry, Jennifer, I'll come back to you.
Okay, just one point before that. And half of what's sent back is sent to landfill because it's not fit for use anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, the clothes shopping really, really annoys me because so many retailers, if you're small or if you're tall, everything has been pushed online. As well as that, when you're clothes shopping, you want to be able to try it on. You want to be able to see
it falls. He has something else to tell you very shortly about that.
Yeah, and it's just ridiculous. Like large sizes, everything, they've all been pushed online and most people just want to go into a store and be able to try on something. And that really frustrates me about online shopping.
Cheer this woman up for me, please.
Right. there's technologies available now, but one of them is called the magic mirror. So basically, if you're standing in front of a mirror, there's a palette on your right-hand side, which has maybe like your laptop or your... and you can swipe, as you might do for some other things. You just swipe for the next dress.
It's still going to be ridiculous because you won't be able to feel the material.
No, but what it allows
Unless
you to do...
Unless magic mirror makes every woman appear a size 10, then nobody's going to buy it.
No, it hasn't. Well, no, what it does is it allows you to try on virtually 20 or 30 dresses, then pick the 4 or 5 that you actually like and then go out and try them.
But then
That's
I guarantee you, say if you're ordering a 16, the 16 will be a size 20 in one dress and a 12 in another. And that just keeps the whole spiral going.
But as I understand, this whizzeroony of a thing is because I hate shopping. So I'm speaking with great conviction. You will know whether it's a size 16 or a size 20 because the machine has artificial intelligence and does all that for you. I think it sounds like.
Well, being raised by a fashion buyer, my mother was a fashion buyer for Switzers back in the day, she bred into me that you have to look at the fall on you. I don't care what magic... what magic mirror or what AI comes in, there's going to be some scene that's going to drive you insane with an itch that no magic mirror can tell you about.
What it does is it facilitates you trying on 40 or 50 different dresses where, you know what, normally you just wouldn't do that. You wouldn't have the time or the patience to do it.
The training from my mother.
Just on that, I mean, Veronica's at home looking after the three kids, and I'm really disappointed because I've been trying to push his online for ages, because when you're running both people in full-time jobs and you're tearing around and you're collecting the kids, I thought it'd be more convenient, and Veronica just won't do it.
Yeah. Why not? Because she has a reason.
I'm feeding my kids. I want to pick out the food I'm feeding my kids. That's kind of her attitude. I want to pick it up myself.
Yeah, but an orange is an orange.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But tin food is not online. I'm not saying orange from the end of the crate.
But your local butcher isn't online. Your local, you know, your local fishmonger or your local fruit and veg shop, they're not online. You have to go down and you have to order it.
Yeah.
I mean, occasionally I'll ring up the butcher and say, could you have four steaks ready for me there, and I'll lift them on my way past. Yeah. Take me four steaks, but that's as far as you would go.
Well, that's growing, isn't it? That you buy and collect.
Or click and collect. What they're calling is the way it's moving now is what they call BOPUS, buy online and you pick up in store. So it's a phrase that's becoming more popular, and it's this local deliveries, the likes of Deliveroo, or there's a company doing deliveries, an online delivery service for Lidl at the moment, Buy For Me, I think it is. But what they do is basically...
Oh, I didn't think they did online shopping.
Well, it's online shopping to a certain extent. You download the app and you have all the Lidl products on it. You pick what you want, and then somebody gets this order and off they go, and they go out to the local Lidl store and buy it for you and bring it to you at a charge of around 6 or 7 euros if you want it delivered in an hour, down to 3 euros if you want it delivered in 3 hours or 4 hours.
If you cottoned onto this, it could make life much easier.
Yeah. The only thing about the Lidl and Aldi is I would pay someone to actually catch all the shopping as they're throwing it to me, because the speed at which they go at, it's literally like you're under mortar fire when you're at the checkout.
Well, do you know, like, the interesting thing is if you go to traditional conventional supermarkets, the space is at the back for you to pack, whereas they have queues there, but once you think you're on the conveyor belt, you might have four people in front of you, but you're nearly there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the psychology behind that. And then, of course, you know, they throw everything quickly to get you through very, very quickly. And, like, if you take the likes of Aldi and Lidl actually time their employees, and, you know, if they don't do our barcode, you know, they're doing around 30 items a minute.
I thought they were supposed to be really good employers. Are you telling me that they were the stopwatch?
Well, no, but they're tracked, but it's automated. It's not a stopwatch. All right. It's all, you know, but, you know, you're not doing it quick enough. You will be told you're not processing the products quick enough. Yeah. So there's less time for interaction and chat with the customer.
Oh, right.
But, I mean, that's what happens. But
that's what happens. The other thing you talk about is things like personalised service. When you say about chatting with the customer, and we in Ireland, for all our Ireland of the Welcomes and Kate Mila Falta, 54% of people don't believe the level of service in Ireland is up to scratch.
Yeah, and I'd agree with that entirely. I think the level of service is just not good enough. It's adequate, and we've reached a certain standard where everybody's trained to say hello, be very polite. But do you know what? The level of service where they actually they treat you like a loyal customer. So, you know, everybody says hello, thank you very much, but you don't actually feel that personalization. So you go to restaurants, or, you know, like, it still happens. Is your meal okay? You say yes, and, you know, we've just had a chat that it's not great, but you don't go back again. So we need to have better service to create loyal customers. And actually, we don't get it because, you know, as you were saying there, you may not have it as in size 16 or 18 or 12 or 10 or whatever you're looking for. And they don't, like, often you go to a shoe store and, like, I'd be an average size, and then they tell you, have you got that shoe in my size and that colour? And they'll say no, and they'll say why. And
we don't have it in five, but we have it in three. Will that fit?
Well, not even that. But I asked them why don't they have it, and they say, you know what, it's the most popular one and it's sold out. And I'm like, if you want, like you said, if you want a size 3 or you want a size 12 or 14, no problem.
So they're not getting this. Yeah, but if you ever look at sales, you know the way women go around and they're looking at all these models that are kind of 1.5 inches wide, and they could never be like that. But what you get in sales are the very small sizes, because they haven't been bought. I can't understand how that happens over and over and over.
Yeah, and that's where you get the places like the retail outlet in Kildare, which is supposed to be for something like that. So all the Nike store there takes all the Nike stock that hasn't been sold, and basically they consolidate it down there so they don't have to have these sale rails in the stores. So retailers need to deal with that properly. You know, I was in Dundrum recently and I went into, won't mention, but an upmarket store and for gents and...
very, very narrow.
But the store had a sale rail when I walked in at the very front, and 50% off all these items and jackets and so on. And then I said I didn't like anything and then wandered into the store. But my mind was already, you know what, I don't want to pay full price because there's this in the store. But it's an upmarket store and they should not be offering sale rails at the front of their store.
Yeah. You were saying that if you are going to shop for a handbag, what priced one should you put out front?
Well, if you take the likes of Louis Vuitton or something like that, if you go down to the store, they might have the handbag. You come in and you see the nice handbag and the big handbag, and then you look at the price tag or you ask the price, they'll tell you it's 20,000, and then you'll say,
hasn't,
"Oh, I'm not buying
that." Hasn't happened to me that often, eh? But anyway.
But you know, if you end up buying one for 5,000, you think you've got a bargain. Because psychologically, they put a price into your mind.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll be back to you. This is all fascinating stuff. We have to take a break.